So, Jeff, thanks for joining us. Busy time coming up for you with the 50th anniversary celebrations for Yes. You're always crazy busy, of course. What's it like to be part of what I now think you have to call an institution rather than the band?
Well, yeah, I think you're probably right, yeah. I mean, 50 years, you're probably, you know, gold watches all round, I think, isn't it? You know, certainly Yes music is, I think, what you'd probably say, it's not just about being in a band, you know. I think it's a whole style, it's a whole genre, it's a whole catalogue of music, like you would possibly attribute to, you know, a classical composer. So, and I think that if you look at historically over the 50 years, you know, the 21 or 22 musicians who've been actively involved with Yes over that period have all made valuable contributions that have certainly helped to perpetuate the legend, as it were.
And now, you first came on board with Yes with your partner from Buggles, Trevor Horn, and then came back in 2011. So, I mean, you're a well-established artist and permanent fixture in the band. Do you still feel the pressure, though, of playing for a band that is now, as we say, an institution?
I think, you know, it's still very... You know, Yes music is very challenging for all the musicians. I don't think anybody can, anyone would be able to coast through it. I think that it's something you really have to, look at seriously and really apply yourself to. And I think that that's one of the beauties of Yes's legacy is the fact that it's very much a musician's band. And I think that, that's always been to the fore, the technical aspect as much as the composition and the staging. You know, I mean, certainly when we come out this time, when we're doing the two sides from Topographic Ocean, the bookends, the first and fourth sides, it's going to be, the presentation that we put together is very, very important. And I think that, you know, Yes, as much as it was known for these wonderful, long, in-depth, very ornate pieces, we're also known as providing a spectacle, such as the round stage and the light shows and the Roger Dean imagery and all the rest of it. So I think, all things considered, it's very much, that aspect of it is very important to Yes as well.
So you mentioned there playing two sides from Tales from Topographic Oceans. Very much the last few tours of Yes have been based on albums. Are we going to hear, I mean, apart from Topographic Oceans, what are we going to hear? A mixture from throughout the years?
I think that the fact that it is the 50th, it's appropriate to try and give representation of all the eras of Yes as best as possible. So I think the rest of the show is going to be dedicated more to that, the sort of potted history of Yes's music in a way. Obviously, I think that with the 22 studio albums or so, whatever it was, it's not possible to do everything, but we'll certainly have a good go at pulling something off. Certainly, all the key albums, and I think that. That in itself it will be quite an achievement to show Yes's music in that light, that the historical influences and how it developed over the years, certainly over the 50-year period.
And of course, the tour itself comes to a head with it's a weekend of activities and concerts at the London Palladium on the Saturday, the 24th, Sunday, 25th of March. Lots of action going on that last weekend.
Yeah, there's a big fan convention. We've got some of Yes's, certainly with Tony Kaye joining us on this tour. So, we've got another very key element of the original Yes when it was formed in 1968. I think it's nice that he's agreed to come out and perform with us on that. And hopefully we'll have a few other people who've been involved with Yes over the years as well. And certainly... Trevor Horn will be able to make an appearance or two. And of course, this big fan convention that we've got planned for the before the final show on the Sunday, the 25th. So I think it's going to be a great presentation. I think the fact that it's in Britain and it's, you know, it's home to what Yes was originally. So I think it's going to be great.
You mentioned Trevor Horn there. The Weeknd has a chance to get hold of a new Yes release as well, a reworking of Fly From Here called The Return Trip. It's your return to the band in 2011, so what was thinking of reworking some of that?
Well, I think that quite a lot of that album was actually written by Trevor and I way back when, and certainly the basic ideas were put together back then. So it was kind of nice, I think, that Trevor had the opportunity to look at it again and put his stamp on it. That obviously when we had Benoit as the singer in the band, it was important that Benoit was featured on the album. I think that you know, that goes without saying, really. But certainly I think Trevor always felt that, you know, it would be nice for him to have a crack at doing the vocals and remixing it as well. I think it was, we've added a couple of extra tracks to it as well. So it sort of completes the cycle in a way. It's almost sort of full circle.
Just wanted to touch on a couple of members of the band now, and of course we lost Chris Squire a little while back, Mr. Yes, I think you have to call him. What's it like having that man sort of missing, one of the anchors of the band, really?
It's very tough. You know, I think that you know, Chris in a lot of ways was irreplaceable, but certainly I think that, you know, what conversations that I ever had with him historically, and I think many people would say the same, that Chris was always of the opinion that Yes's music would continue long after any of us were here, and I think that I think it was his wish that Yes music, you know, would have continued without him, not necessarily you know, in terms of just recording, but certainly live performances, so that the music could be heard. And I think that, you know, Chris's sentiment was that he never felt that, you know, once he was gone, that Yes's music would be locked away in a chest and never heard of again. And I think that, you know, when Billy came in, Billy was really the man elect, really, to take over from Chris anyway, because I think that, you know, Chris's relationship with Billy was very, very strong. You know, they worked together in you know, other projects as well. So it was a very natural choice, if that's the right terminology. But of course, that didn't take away from the fact that you know, Chris's presence was you know, will and always will be sorely missed.
And John Davison on vocals, I mean, I saw him live a couple of years ago when you were down in Southend. He could be John Anderson, couldn't he? I mean, his vocal is so close and so crisp. It's unbelievable.
You know, John Davison is really a remarkable talent. I think that certainly not many people could walk into a situation like he did and deliver to the level that he can. Of course, you know, a lot of the Yes music is synonymous with John Anderson's vocal, but I think John Davison, in his own right, does add his own stamp on things, and certainly the register, he's comfortable in that register, and I think that he does a great job, and we've been very lucky to have John Davison come on board when he did.
And we mentioned you're very busy as always. You're about to embark on Cruise to the Edge as well, aren't you?
We're about to embark on that. Yeah, that's going to be our first little foray this year, which is, again, it's nice that we can do that in the 50th year. This particular one has got some real heavyweights on there with Meridian and Steve Hackett, Carl Palmer's Legacy. So I think it's going to be great. I mean, we're off. I think we're off cruising in about 2 weeks' time. So I think everyone's looking forward to it.
And then it's off to mainland Europe with Yes at the end of March. So you've obviously still got the taste for touring.
Yeah, I think so. I think that you know, Yes's music is so strong as a catalogue. I think that, you know, you could be playing it till the cows come out, because it always has new twists and turns in it if you go through it. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's remained so popular with a group of fans that it has. You know, because it's music not just for yesterday or today. You know, it's music for tomorrow as well. And I think that's one of the things that's really managed to secure the band's longevity is the fact that the music is so strong and this wonderful range of music is helped perpetuate the band. And I think that's one of the things that keeps the current musicians very energized is the fact that, you know, playing that music is a really special experience.
Then, of course, there's the work with Asia, your solo stuff, and you're working on some new Buggle stuff with Trevor Horn as well, aren't you?
Yeah, we've been doing some towards the end of last year. We were doing some bits and pieces, and hopefully we'll put something together that will come out at some point. I know Trev's very busy, but I think that we'll certainly, you know, get together, and, you know, when we get an opportunity, and put something new out there that hopefully people will enjoy.
And then there's, of course, DBA, the Downs Braid Association, with your longtime collaborator, prolific songwriter, singer and producer Chris Braid. You released your third album at the back end of last year. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's album Skyscraper Souls. It's our third album. Slightly different approach, actually, on this one, because we got a rhythm section in with Ash Soane and Andy Hodge. And then there are some real great guests on board as well, with Kate Pearson from the B-52s, Andy Partridge, XTC, David Longdon from Big Big Train, and of course Mark Almond as well. So it's quite a collection of guests on there. And I think that it's really helped the project as a whole, because it's brought on it's sort of opened up the canvas, as it were, and the reports have been fabulous. You know, we've had some great reviews, and you know, I think that Chris is a great writer. He's great to work with. You know, now that we've got this album under our belt, we'll be looking at doing another one, I think.
And it's a slightly different sort of tonal departure from the last two albums, isn't it? I mean, it's more proggy, isn't it? But it still keeps that pop edge to it.
Yeah, I think that that's the important thing is to, you know, Chris has very much worked to, you know, from a pop era, certainly writing for, you know, very sort of mainstream pop artists, if you like. Whereas I've sort of gone the other way, you know, I'm more sort of entrenched in the prog world, which is sort of the opposite from the way it used to be when Trevor and I joined Yes. You know, we were the pop guys and going into the prog world, and this is really the other way around for me. But certainly, it seems to work, and I think that. You know, I think we came up with a very strong album.
Interestingly, though, none of it was written with the two of you in the same room. It has, I mean, going back to Pop Round, has a kind of Elton John, Bernie Taupin vibe to it, of
well,
you sending all...
Yeah, I mean, I often think that there are different ways of doing this, you know. There are more ways to skin the writing cat than other. For instance, when I used to write songs with John Wetton, we were very much always in the same room. You know, that was it. We didn't do anything remotely. We all sat down at the piano and we kicked out the ideas like that. So that's one way you can do it. And I think, yeah, Elton John just used to get a pack of lyrics from Bernie Taupin, and he'd sift through them and see which one he fancied. So they were never actually in the same room at the same time. And I think when Lennon McCartney wrote, you know, they each one of them wrote a song. You know, it wasn't like they're sort of, there was these two guys collaborating, really sort of heart to heart kind of stuff. So There are different ways of doing it. You know, for instance, I think Yes, when they were writing songs, they were almost conceived in the studio or the arrangement side of it, when they were all playing as a band and said, you know, you add this bit and that bit. So there are all these different ways of doing it, and I think that this was quite an interesting way because, you know, I was just fueling ideas over to Chris and he was sending them back, and that was really how it worked. So we were never in the room at the same time. But, you know, I don't think any way is any worse or better than the other. I think they're just different ways of looking at it.
Now, we mentioned that you tour extensively. This one not going out on tour, though?
Well, I think that, you know, it's difficult to put together a tour unless you really got a decent run of dates. You know, I think that it would be a lot of work just to get together, pretty impractical, just to get together for one or two shows. So, but, I mean, we wouldn't discount the idea. I think if someone came up with a suggestion that we could maybe do a run of shows, then I think we'd probably look at it quite seriously.